Listen up. You are now listening to News with My Fiance with DJ Ambush and Morgan Jones.
Hello. Good morning. Great morning. Welcome to your Thursday, the best day of your week. You know, best weekday, huh? One, it starts with us. Two, it's Friday Eve. So Thursdays really pop. You've made it past that hump day thing everyone likes to celebrate. Pish posh. And if you're in the nightlife, it kind of does start. There'll be some things popping on Thursday. So welcome to Thursday.
Wow.
You know, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's been a while.
It has.
Your face.
Well, I can tell, or I'm sure that Michelle can tell, that I am tired today.
So. I love that.
This moment, y'all, this morning where I woke up. I heard my alarm. I woke up. I went immediately back to sleep. I thought I slept for a while. So much so that I forgot what time it was. I forgot that I needed to be awake.
Yikes.
But I didn't have the moment of panic because when I woke up, it was 5 minutes later. And I thought I had slept for like 2 hours.
You know what's funny?
It's called delusion.
Delulu. I had a dream that I woke up and I thought I was up.
Getting ready?
No, I never immediately get ready, you know.
Well,
I wake up.
You need to tell everybody else that.
I was saying, hey, man. Hey, I need my time. Right. I woke up and I looked at the window and saw dawn. Mm. And I was like, it's time to get up. But have I overslept? Because that looks a little bit brighter than it should be right now. But because I hadn't heard the alarm, which I cannot sleep through unless I'm really like super tired.
Mm.
I went right back to sleep, only to then hear the alarm and wake up and look at the window and see it was still pitch black. And I was like, wait, I had a dream about waking up?
That would have really put me in a bad place because I would have thought that the first one was real and would have been like, well, it's time. Well, it's dark outside.
Yeah.
So there's my confirmation that I get to go back to sleep. It's not true.
No.
You don't get to go back to sleep.
No.
We are on our way. We've descended into fall.
Yeah. And now we've arrived.
Dark in the morning. It's dark time in the morning and the nighttime.
Fall is here. Fall is falling upon us.
Mm.
'Tis official. Yeah.
Yeah. Today is a rough one. My eyes are barely open. I hope that, you know, I don't know, the shoulders get less heavy and the eyelids get less heavy. Just I'm gonna do jumping jacks at every music break.
I'll tell you this, though. As tired as you're feeling, and there's a slight hint of it in your, you know, in your affect, because of the wardrobe, it still looks like you, hey man, you came to play. You got a streetwear cash going on right now. That's like, I'm tired, but I'm still out here. I'm still out here.
And you know,
I got one up on you. So, yeah.
This is easily the best compliment I've gotten in a while.
Wait, in general or just for me? The people need to know.
In general.
All right.
You supersede it all. You know?
Can't nobody see.
I'm now going to ask if we are, in fact, on air. It is 7:36. I have not seen a text message. I don't know. Maybe the internet's not working, you know?
Guys, I don't know why y'all make her do this.
We just got to check.
Every week. Y'all put her through this.
They don't put me through it every week. You know?
Sometimes. No, that's true. Sometimes they beat us at a punch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just making sure, you know, everything's still happening out there in the world, that we are all still together.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We were all, we came together Monday night for show. Our chat was popping on the Monday night show. Shout out to all the fiancés that came through Monday night, chopping it up with us as we discuss a myriad of things.
Indeed, as we do on Mondays.
You know what I'm saying? And if you are missing the Monday shows, there are clips that go up on YouTube. You can go to our Instagram, and there's links to those clips in our bio. I definitely want to shout out everyone that I've been having like text message conversations with and phone conversations with and DMs and conversations in the comments of these posts on social media with regards to our dead stock video, my dead stock BPD, Beaverton Police Department video. I'm very happy to say that the responses and reactions that we got to the video were very encouraging, in the way that what we set out to do, we did. Mm-hmm. You know, we offered our analysis of the situation, communicated no ill will, malice, or shade, because that's not what we were doing that for. You know what I'm saying? I think it just makes sense that when you are in media, you are part of local media, if we can talk about people we don't know personally all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But where's the integrity when it comes to someone that you have a relationship with?
Talk to them, Amber.
Or a business that you have a relationship with. You can offer a critique in a way that is respectful of the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just your honest opinion. And I'm happy that it landed with the people that responded to me. And hopefully, you know, the greater community. I'm happy that it landed that way.
Yeah. Lately, people have been talking to you more than they've been talking to me, and that's fine, you know?
Yeah.
So I didn't get a whole bunch of the feedback, but I did get some that was directly like into my text messages.
Okay.
Shout out to the group chats that were like, hey.
Oh, yeah, man.
Great job.
Those group chats were awesome. I was in one of those. So something just happened with the text. Three came in at the same time. So there was a 2-minute delay, it looks like, because they came in at 7:39, but one of them is labeled 7:37. So And I think there may have been a little bit of a kink, a little clog in the pipes, but now boom, 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 boom.
Well, look loaded. At this. First one. We made it to Thursday. You're here. We are here. I think.
Shelly Shell.
I think we're also here, Michelle. I just, how will we be able to tell? You know? Oh, yes. Good Morgan's fiancés.
That's pretty good.
I'm smiling very big right
now. That's pretty good.
Excited me.
Her hands are in the air. Thank you. Thank you, Robin.
Beloveds, good morning. Listen to the recorded Monday show. Appreciated it. All love for Deadstock and F12.
Yes,
is
bro.
A button on the, on the keyboard. And then it means something else.
Hit that F12 on your keyboard.
Yo, thank you very much. For real, you mentioned integrity, and that's definitely a thing that's important to us.
Yeah.
And one of the things that gets us really riled up about, you know, not just media, but sort of how quickly we can see people make excuses for behaviors or actions,
right,
that in a different instance, maybe you'd have a different opinion. But now that you know that person, you're like, well, I mean, is it that bad?
Right.
And we all have to grapple with that at some point, you know, like there's definitely going to be someone in your life that does a thing that you're like, whoa, I didn't know you could do that thing.
Didn't see that coming.
And, you know, you got to deal with those kind of things. Systems are in place doing what they're supposed to do.
Right.
Including confusing enough of us to be like, well, maybe we do just need to talk to the police.
Right. Is the expectation that if I get pulled over a week later by the officer that I was in a ride along with, I'm going to be able to say, Officer So-and-so, hey, it's me. Remember from the ride along? Hey, come on.
We were just together.
We're just, you know.
Or I know your partner.
Right.
These aren't things that are going to matter.
Nah, bro.
Yeah.
It's not real. There's a big candidate forum coming up on the 14th. Mm-hmm. Saw ad, you know, on the X-ray Instagrams. Very excited for that. a lot of big wigs on there. We have a lot of city council candidates and also some mayoral candidates. I definitely saw Carmen. I saw Mingus. I can't remember if I saw Renee. I believe Renee confirmed participate.
He's probably busy.
He is. You know? He should be busy. You know, back under investigation for the whole Wikipedia scandal, the whole Wikipedia misappropriation.
I want to know if he believes he got his money's worth. Did he get our money's worth?
Did he get our money's worth? That's the question.
I want to know if he got our money's worth, because his Wikipedia definitely still, it has a whole section for controversies.
Oh, gosh.
Including the one where he spent $6,400 of our dollars.
I do not understand any circumstance under which I should be paying, as a taxpayer, should be paying for your Wikipedia update.
At all.
Like,
to spruce up your profile?
Sir, why is that a responsibility to taxpayers? Explain to me. Why? It's not like you're updating the Wikipedia for your office, for, you know what I'm saying, like the city council like position. It's just your personal Wikipedia. Explain to me why I should be paying for that.
Well, my favorite part is that the point was to get rid of all of the links to white supremacy that Renee has. And right. Now it's just even more highlighted. You're in your Wikipedia, it tells me that you spent $6,400 of taxpayer money to say, I don't really know all them. I don't know them white supremacists like that.
Mm. Oh, he is confirmed.
But we already know that you do know them like that.
Right.
And that you share, the homies are the homies.
Man, you share their stuff on social media. Like, what are we talking about?
The primary motivation for Gonzalez's edits appeared to be to remove mention of his Twitter thanks to supporters that tagged Quincy Franklin, a member of the far right group, the Patriot Prayer. Like, we all know that you have glad-handed,
yeah,
high-fived, met in dark alleys, met at the mayor's table with white supremacists. There's no...
Guess what, sir? That is the leadership of the past. We are moving away from that. We don't want to be dealing with any leadership that traffics in supporting having any type of relationship with white supremacists. We're trying to move into the future. You're yesterday's news with that, those types of relationships. We don't want that. We literally don't want that. And now you're spending our money to clean up your history, your browser history. Like, nah, we don't, no. No, disinterested. And our, like, the election is around the corner, folks. It's around the corner. And I feel like the majority of the people that are listening to us and listen to X-Ray, they're not voting for Renee. But maybe your uncle is. Maybe your cousin is.
Yeah.
Please have these conversations with them. It's very, very important that we are mobilized. And remember, this is News of My Fiance. We do not represent any other show or the greater organization that is X-Ray FM. But it's very important that we mobilize and are active in voting, in voting for our interest, in making sure that the people that are being paid to represent us actually represent us, actually represent our interests. We can look at some of these candidates, and you can look at their pages, and you can look at their relationships and look at their endorsements and tell who they're here to support, who they're here to represent, who they're here to make change and advances and perform for. We don't want that. And we can complain about it year round, but when it's time to show up and participate in the process, we got to do that. We have to do that. We have an obligation, especially at the local level. Especially at the local level. I don't know how else to express that, but yeah, you can be completely disenfranchised with the Electoral College. You can be completely disenfranchised with the options you have for the presidency, but at the local level, it's important to stay engaged. It's important to stay involved and make sure your voice is heard.
I'll say that if you are involved in the local level, it's harder to be disenfranchised from the national level.
Facts.
Because the more you understand how much the local level needs the federal level and that certain levers are going to get pulled by certain parties, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've got a couple of texts. One says, I've spent my whole life being fed cop propaganda in movies and TV. Don't need a ride along to know what it's about.
Yeah.
I unwillingly know more about it than any other job I've never had. Exactly that.
Wow.
Exactly
I
that.
I unwillingly know about it more than any other job I never had.
Fam. I want to frame that tweet.
Yeah.
Her tweet? What? Okay. And then another one. Maybe they were just riding along with the white supremacists so they could better understand the realities of their position.
Oh my God, Michelle, that is so astute. Yes. Yes.
Yo, Michelle just be hitting it on the head so often that I'm like, well, do we need me here? Do I need you here?
That makes all the sense. How else to best know what their brothers in blue are doing?
I mean,
could you imagine? I would love to be the fly in the car for those ride-alongs. Oh, my God.
Yes, we all know, Renee. We know you want to lick Trump's boots. But excuse me, I don't have a button for the B word. You're a B12 vitamin. Does that work?
I think that works. Let's people that.
I guess we should say what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, I would love a music break. I need like 3 minutes to close my eyes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's how I'll regenerate.
All right. So in local news, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but People for Portland has disbanded after 3 years of what they call advocacy.
This is a big air quote.
What we call definitely controversy. But yeah, I'm anxious to get to that story.
Oh, no. Because shutting down shop. I wonder why.
And in national news, tens of thousands of U.S. dock workers strike, threatening the supply chain and economy. There was a time when I had no idea what supply chain meant. Then the pandemic happened.
Uh-huh.
Then I was like, oh, my word. Guys, the supply chain is at risk.
Which is exactly how they wanted you to respond.
Yeah.
Yes.
Who is supplying the chain? We are in trouble, guys. We're in drubs.
The chain is behind.
The chain is not being supplied. And Biden urges caution as Israel weighs their response to the Iranian missile reaction.
I'm so tired. I am so tired of the U.S. being the U.S.
Now you want to urge caution? Cool story, bro.
Mm.
All right, it is time for a music break, and we'll be back with
Get into the groove.
And welcome back to News of My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush. Join the conversation. Get on in here. Let us know what you're thinking, what you're feeling. Huh? How the music's hitting you. Are our voices loud enough? Are we angry enough? Are we funny enough? You know? Give us our Rotten Tomatoes score. Join the conversation. Shoot us a text at 971-220-5979. Again, that is 971-220-5979. Speaking of Rotten Tomatoes scores, this Joker 2 is not doing well. Man, I want to see it. I want to see it. I love musicals. I didn't know I loved musicals until you introduced me to Broadway.
That's what I do.
So I want to see it. I want to see it.
Well.
What happened? What did Brooke say now?
For another time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Brooke. I miss you. Thank you for this. Talk soon. I'm watching Ambush read a text, and you know, he has to look a different way, and
there's separate screens for what I'm doing.
Yeah, and his, I just noticed how he didn't move the whole time.
I was frozen. I was aghast. Frozen. Thank you, Brooke.
I just wanted to mention before we get too far and get right into the stories and things like that, that one, Donald John Trump.
This guy.
Now, I don't know exactly how or why, you know, why does it? I feel like we get new information about stuff that should have been with the last batch of information or the first batch of information or whatnot. I believe the man was quoted as saying, make them riot.
Yeah.
Do it in regard to January 6th, in regard to him, you know, doing the whole I won scam.
Yeah. Yeah.
The election was mine.
Yeah. So what we're talking about is more information has been released by Jack Smith.
Because of the Supreme Court ruling that,
right.
Hey guys, presidents can really do WTF.
Yeah.
They want. They can do it all as long as they're acting in a something capacity.
Like presidential capacity.
Thank you.
Right, right. So then Jack was like, all right, fine. Since you're really going to make me do this, let me go back and present more information and allow you to see that he was operating in the capacity of the candidate and not the presidency when he was doing these things. And I believe the additional, I think it's up to, is it 157 pages that got released?
160 something. Okay. Yeah, I think that you may be referencing a Diddy number.
But... true. So many indictments. Yeah.
They're everywhere.
Yeah.
As Cat Williams said, it is the year of the truth.
Yeah.
2024.
Man, that he is sounding like a soothsayer.
It's true.
A lot is going on.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Open the floodgates.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, that was one.
I just find it very, you know, vindicating and then also incredibly disappointing because it won't matter at all.
That's where we usually rest after, you know, things like this. Shout out to John Oliver. He helped bring some levity and create perspective around these moments of disappointment with the gotcha button. And
if, we got him.
Yeah, if you have it, if you're not familiar, you know, last week tonight, this weekly show, he'd start with some, you know, time sensitive news and then go into his main stories. And during the Trump administration, there was always something that he was doing that was just 100% problematic and illegal. And it was overwhelming. Cavalcade, if you will. And so every week he would be like, listen, I know I said we got him last week and I know, but understand this time, this is major. This is over the top. And he'd pull out this little button that was like, what's that? Who is it?
Staples was like, the easy button.
The easy button.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, we got him. And he'd smack the button and it'd be this big celebration because we finally got Trump. We finally got him nailed. And no.
And then they did, and then
yeah.
They didn't have them.
No. No.
Still don't have them.
Still don't have them.
Still slipping through the fingers.
I don't know if anyone knows this, but he's running for president. Yeah.
Moving on.
So, People for Portland, a political advocacy group that sharply criticized city leaders and pushed for more aggressive responses to public safety and homelessness issues, is disbanding its co-founders revealed to the Oregonian on Thursday. The group, co-founded by Democratic political consultant Kevin Looper and Republican strategist Dan Levy, was launched in 2021 with the goal of addressing what they describe as Portland's post-pandemic struggles with public safety, graffiti, and houselessness. We feel we've done our job, Looper said, pointing to the changes in political discourse. He highlighted that when the group started, public conversation centered around defunding the police and unrestricted homelessness. Now, Looper claims, progressive and centrist leaders are focusing on solutions like transitional shelters and addressing crime more proactively. The group faced criticism from the start, particularly from progressives who accused People for Portland of using fear-mongering tactics to advance an agenda aligned with business interests. Critics, including Democratic State Rep. Andrea Valderrama and former NAACP President Sharon Joy Gary Smith, described the group as an unelected body pushing its own views onto the city. Mm. People for Portland advocated for policies like increasing police presence and compelling homeless individuals to accept shelter, stances that fueled the opposition, but also garnered significant financial backing from prominent downtown developers and business owners, including one Jordan Snitzer and Columbia Sportswear CEO Tim Boyle. While the group was successful in shifting the public narrative on crime and houselessness, it also faced setbacks. A key legal defeat occurred when a judge blocked its attempt to redirect regional tax funds from affordable housing to emergency shelters. Additionally, Looper and Levy's involvement in the 2022 gubernatorial campaign of unaffiliated candidate Betsy Johnson ended in disappointment as Johnson finished a distant third. Looper and Levy claimed that despite the backlash and personal challenges, including threats and vandalism, they believe their efforts have succeeded in giving voice to what they describe as Portland's silent majority. They point to Governor Tina Kotek's Emergency Task Force recommendation on homelessness as a validation of their advocacy. Though People for Portland is winding down, Looper hinted that the group's work might continue in another form. This is not just the end of a chapter, it's the beginning of a new chapter, Looper said. Sounds pretty clandestine, if you were to ask me of my opinion on my news radio show. Sirs, and the ma'ams and sirs that you represent, all you've told us is that you're going to go right back into the boardrooms.
New name, who this?
Right, into your text threads, into your emails, and continue the madness behind the scenes. That's it. You think you have succeeded in getting the people in place that you need to carry out the tasks that you want to see. Cool. You got rid of our progressive DA, you know? So it's like, oof, it feels good.
I just want to say that their tweet, in 3 years, your, all caps, your grassroots voices changed the debate and direction city politics. Hire 300 more police? Yes. Ban public camping? Yes. Create more safe shelters? Yes. Recriminalize hard drugs? Yes. Hold D.A. Schmidt accountable? Yes. Clean up the dang trash? Yes. So, by their account, I believe they did their job, or?
Yeah. Look how much better Portland is.
And I'd like to know, from the people for Portland, did it do what it was supposed to do?
Brooke said, People for Portland, advocates for the disenfranchised wealthy Portlanders.
I mean.
So grateful to know they were successful in helping the needy.
I mean, some of them are the most vulnerable, Brooke.
Woe is me.
You know?
As I blow my nose in $100 bills.
Vulnerable to when you backstroke in your coins.
Right. You're Scrooge McDuckery of a life.
Yeah, you are. The potential to dislocate a shoulder is there.
Yeah.
I mean, one thing that they did get right is they were able to help change the debate. And I want to be very clear. Everything they listed, performative measure. Everything they listed, waste of time. Everything they listed harms our community. It harms our city. You did not create safe shelters. I mean, here's the thing. I am not a person that's like, we don't, it needs to be lawless. But I am realistic in the fact that banning something doesn't mean anything other than it's not supposed to happen.
Right.
It is as if these people don't know that there are laws right now getting broken as they, you know, as they type up whatever memo they're saying that we should do. It is illegal to kill people.
I feel like it's been for a long time.
It's illegal to assault people. It's illegal to steal things.
Unless you have a badge.
Or, you know, eminent domain. I guess you could you could have that too. You could use that.
Yeah. Facts.
Hiring more police did not make the community more safe. Mm-hmm. Banning public camping does not mean there are no people camping or living outside. Mm-hmm. We've got to stop calling it camping. Did not create more shelters, did not give anyone any more resources in order to actually get folks off the street. Recriminalizing drugs does absolutely nothing at all because you're it's a lie anyway.
Right.
Hold D.A. Schmidt accountable.
Is that what you did? Is that what happened?
I'd love to know how we hold the new D.A. accountable, because the things that you and Vasquez have said need to happen, you've listed, have happened. So is Vasquez going to be in here? Does he need to prosecute anyone? I mean, the laws are, everything's different. Everything's back to what it was.
Everything's happened. Everything's better.
Everything's better already. Text, it's the money. It's the money, money, money. Snitzer. Still in Colombia. They're,
they're so dirty. Yeah. P-Town. They're so dirty. Yeah. But listen, it's never been confusion for Portland. We're representing people for landlords. I believe you started calling them.
Yeah, indeed.
Really, really early.
Yes.
Into there.
That's what they're here for. People for property.
People for property. People for landlords. Yeah.
I wish that we didn't spend so many resources on things that are not effective, that are not helpful, that do not impact the community in any, in a good way. And just sows division. So here we are dealing with, you know, yet another group that wants to tell everybody how wrong everything is, but do absolutely nothing.
Right.
To change it materially. Like these are talking points. These are dinner party, you know, rage bait.
Yeah.
And they didn't deserve to be a PAC. They didn't deserve to get the attention they got. They didn't deserve to be able to be in our community sowing that kind of division. They didn't deserve to be able. I mean, the fact that this was a bipartisan effort to clean up Portland was laughable off top.
Yeah.
We didn't want you. You spent 3 years wasting our time, money, and making things worse. And then you want to be like, and now the future of Portland is in the hands of the voters.
It's secured. Look what we've done. I don't want anyone to get complacent or view this as a death knell, because it isn't. I want anyone to be like, yay, we're the people for Portland. We are not. We're not. We just aren't. We simply aren't. What People for Portland was basically, you know, the volcano erupting. That's it. The volcano still exists. Magma is still moving around. You know what I'm saying? We're going to get this again when they deem necessary, when we, you know, push back and we start embracing more holistic and progressive solutions to our problems. Again, People for Portland wants you to believe, have always wanted us to believe, that our situation was unique, that it wasn't a federal, that these things weren't federal issues, and that, again, we lived in Gotham City. Now, you know, let them tell it. Everything is fine. And we live on the west side of Metropolis. Like, everything's dope. Everything's cool. You know, kicking it. Yeah, you know, it takes an extremely narrow perspective and a very immature perspective to think that no one has it as bad as we do here in Portland.
They will say no one has it as bad as us, and then also say, stop talking about that thing. It's not a genocide.
Right.
Michelle said, people for object permanence can rise up in their place. Instead of having the policies of 6-month-olds, we can shoot for toddler level understanding of public problems.
Nice.
P-Town says, Bella says the same folks are hurting us. Bars and no coats for fur baby people. Yeah, so.
Hey, Bella.
Like, I'm happy that we can all agree that People for Portland was people for profits and people mm-hmm. for property and people for landlords. I'm glad we can agree on that. And I'm hoping that all of us are doing a better job having those conversations with the people directly in our orbit.
Yeah.
Because Welcome to the Schmidt Show worked. And LOL. Like, should that have worked? No. Especially for the people living here.
Right.
Especially for the people who actually see it. And I understand there are folks that this is in fact that, you know? But it is a narrow perspective, as you said. Sorry, too many pauses. I need to wake it up.
It's a narrow perspective. It's a dishonest perspective.
That just is. Yes.
It's, you know.
Absolutely.
100% made up. Utter foolishness, if you will.
I mean, we need to spend some large time on the goings-ons with the imperialism and...
The international imperialism?
The international decisions to escalate a huge war.
Yeah.
Because you can de-escalate through escalation. Mm. I think we learned that from our police. De-escalation just means, like, you know, killing someone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anywho. I'd love a music break before we get into the national.
Yeah, let's do it. Jamie, could you pull up the music for the break?
Why does the internet lie?
And we are back. Welcome back to News with My Fiance with Morgan Jones and DJ Ambush.
That's me.
That is you.
DJ Wait, Ambush.
Okay.
Shoot us a text.
Well, you said that's me.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, because I just said Morgan Jones. No, I just said DJ Ambush, and she said that's me. And it took a while to register. Delayed reaction.
And we're back.
We are.
And last summer, not 2024 summer, but 2023 summer was hot labor summer.
It was.
And we were trying to keep it going. You know, solidarity with all workers. And it's now hot labor fall.
Facts.
Tens of thousands of U.S. dock workers strike, threatening supply chain and the entire economy. Tens of thousands of U.S. port workers went on strike this week, halting operations at several major ports and disrupting the nation's container traffic. Members of the International Longshoremen's Association, the ILA, walked off the job on Tuesday, marking the first nationwide port shutdown in nearly 50 years. Experts warn the strike could impact over a third of U.S. exports and imports, costing the economy billions. We should probably just get some money from Elon Musk.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just got a bunch of
billionaires. Didn't you say he's on his way to being a trillionaire?
Well, I saw that, and then it was like everything's crashing around him. So
I like that. I like to hear that.
Yeah. But we'll come back to that.
Yeah.
The strike stems from a labor dispute over a 6-year contract affecting roughly 25,000 port workers. The U.S. Maritime Union, which represents shipping companies and port operators, has proposed a deal that would increase wages by nearly 50%, triple employer contributions to pensions, and strengthen healthcare options. However, the Dock Workers Union, led by Harold Daggett, is pushing for even higher pay increases and raising concerns over the dangers of automation at ports. Under the previous contract, dock workers earned between $20 and $39 an hour, depending on their experience, along with the benefits such as bonuses tied to container trade. The union is now demanding a $5 hourly wage increase annually for the next 6 years, amounting to a 10% raise each year. Meanwhile, the Maritime Union has accused the dock workers of refusing to negotiate and has filed a complaint with labor regulators.
Wow.
KQ. The strike is already causing ripple effects across several industries, including food, clothing, footwear, and European car manufacturing. Well, that's, can't have that. Experts say time-sensitive goods such as perishable food, foods are particularly vulnerable. And Oxford Economics, estimates the strike could cost the U.S. economy $4.5 billion per week.
Yikes.
And yikes. Temporarily put 100,000 people out of work. While the strike has not yet caused immediate economic disruption, the effects could come become more pronounced as it continues. Quote, we could start to see prices go up and commodity shortages in the coming weeks, said Seth Harris, a former White House labor advisor and current professor at Northeastern University. The strike also presents a political dilemma for President Joe Biden, who has the legal authority to suspend the strike for 80 days under the Taft-Hartley Act. Hmm. However, the White House has stated that Joe Biden has no immediate plans to intervene.
Great.
Good. Sorry. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has urged the president to take action, warning of potential supply chain disruptions reminiscent of those experienced during the COVID-19 pandemic.
If he was going to take the action I wanted him to take, then I'd be like, take action, Jeff. Mm. We saw what he did with the rail workers. So anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was like. Keep him out of there.
Yeah.
With the presidential election just 6 weeks away, the strike puts Biden in a difficult position. While intervention could resolve the dispute, LOL, it risks alienating the labor movement, a crucial Democratic base. Harold Daggett, who endorsed Biden in 2020, has recently criticized the president for pressuring West Coast dock workers to settle contract disputes. So are you staying out of it or are you intervening?
Right.
Labor experts predict the strike may force employers to offer more substantial concessions as pressures mount in the weeks ahead. And, you know, if you'll remember the beginning of the COVID-19 panoramic, there was this thing we did where it was like, essential workers. We celebrate you every night.
We bang our pots at, what was it, 7 p.m.?
I don't remember, but it was nighttime. Let's bang the pots. Let's make the sounds for the essential workers.
They mean everything.
Heroes of our lives that work at the convenience store and McDonald's. Oh, and also, I suppose, the doctors, you know. Folks were not talking about the essential work that is importing and exporting all of the goods.
No, they were not. How do you think those shelves get stocked?
I saw one of the union leaders say, you know, everything, nearly everything comes off of containers. And without those people out there working, getting the stuff off the containers and into your bubble, what do you got?
Yeah.
And it's just true, you know? And imagine the threat of $4.5 billion a week.
That's wild.
And you're not willing to give these people whatever they want?
I mean, we watched it with the actor strike, right? Where they came back with an amazing life, never seen before, life-changing offer of... We wouldn't own the rights to your likeness.
Well, you know, guys, that AI is getting real tricky. How about we get forward thinking? You know, what we're going to do is buy you now.
Right. For pennies on the dollar.
Yeah. We're not going to ask about later. We're going to buy you now.
And you should love that,
what
right?
Say you.
We'll never have to worry about a strike again.
Bruh. Huh?
Well, you put all this strike talk behind this, we'll just buy your likeness. Like, This is the angle these people are coming from.
It just, if you are willing to spend $4.5 billion a week to not pay people $5 more an hour, if that doesn't illustrate every single thing that of this systemic oppression, if right. that doesn't do it, I don't know how else we, not with the rest of everything else that's happening in this world at this very moment.
Right.
I don't know what else we need to say or do or highlight to get folks to understand. This is a very small amount of people using systems to keep us completely under a thumb.
Yeah.
And they will not stop. You cannot ask these folks, hey, we're the ones that do the work.
No.
Could we maybe pay our rent?
It'd be cool.
Could we maybe make enough money to eat? Could we maybe make enough money to be the consumer you want us to be?
I don't understand how you don't want to have a thriving, energetic, happy
labor force,
and you also don't want a consumer that has the ability to purchase your products. Like, on either end of this, it's just counterproductive. It's like, there's something after late stage capitalism that's where we are now. I can't remember what it's called, but it's just like
death.
Yeah.
Dying empire.
Good grief.
Real quick, before we move into the next one, got a text that says, off topic, but I'm going to run my third half marathon on Sunday at the Portland Marathon. Can I get a shout out? Yes, Matt, you can absolutely.
Holy smokes. Third half marathon? You know the last time I ran a marathon?
Was it on the 33rd of February?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's when I ran mine.
It's like my annual marathon running date.
The 33rd.
February 33rd.
Yeah.
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 It takes a lot of, you know, time to work up to that. There's training that leads into that.
I was going
to
ask what the training looked like for you, but...
Playing PS5. That's the extent of it. What? Grueling hours. Grueling. Late into the night.
Matt, I'm sorry that he ruined your shout out.
Oh. Not my intention, Matt. I just wanted to say you're doing far better than I am.
I mean, that, honestly... I don't know. Shout out to everybody who that is the way that they like clear their head running. Y'all be like, oh, it clears my head. I just
going to go for a run.
In what regard? Matt, how do we even start?
You know what it doesn't clear? My knees. It doesn't clear my knees' head. My knees are like, no, sir.
There's other things that have to happen before I can clear my head by running.
Yeah.
And that's definitely working on my knees.
Yeah. Bruh.
This text says, can I just ask, why is the United States president involved in union discussions where he doesn't work? $5 is nothing. P-Town, for real. So this is
where he doesn't work.
As Ambush was like, or as we were saying in that he says he's not going to get involved. I am old enough to remember. When the NBA were getting ready to strike.
Oh, no. Don't bring that up. Go ahead.
LeBron James was getting the boys together.
Listen. That's major when you got Brown involved.
Everybody listens to Brownie.
Everyone.
Like, they all, you know, they love him. And that's why Obama was like, oh, nah. No, we can't be having none of this, guys.
Are you guys aware of that?
Huh?
I was like, did you guys know that? Go ahead.
I mean, Obama single-handedly.
Yeah.
Made it impossible.
He quelled the NBA strike.
Yeah. He called up LeBron James and, you know, getting a call from a former president. Got to be a thing. I'm sure they've met before.
Oh, yeah. Because
that's how that goes.
Yeah.
However, he was able to explain it to LeBron that this was not the time nor the place to worry about, you know, being exploited by billionaires. This is not the time or the place. Fellers, you really got to get out there and play some more sport ball.
Right.
And they were like,
that's how you unite the country.
Yeah, sport ball. That's what we do here at the sport ball. We unite the country. He don't work there.
No.
To P. Town's point, put his nose, his finger, all in it, all in the business.
Right.
Here's the thing that probably a lot of people don't either know or remember. LeBron James spearheaded, and I think Chris Paul spearheaded getting retired NBA players a better healthcare package because they found out that they had no retirement and they had no health care. Not no, but not good.
Yeah.
And they got together and they negotiated for the older players who, number one, never got paid a lick of money that they deserved. Like, right. they never got paid the way that they needed to be paid, and certainly not the way that the owners and the league were making money hand over fist.
Right.
They've not gone back to those players and said, are y'all making it? Because most of them aren't.
Right.
And they know that. They do know that. They know that they're not doing well.
Right.
They know that they don't offer any of the resources that you should get when you are a young person being taken from one environment and made a superstar or a, you know, role model with, and especially now, with hardly, you know, any sort of, not even media training.
Right.
They certainly weren't doing that back in the day. But LeBron James and Chris Paul got together and made it so that they had a much better healthcare package. Now, the NBA insurance for retired players includes everything with the exception of dental, which is confusing.
Right.
How many people have to wear mouth guards, you know, while they're playing? And then you don't even care about the teeth that you knocked out from the people that didn't have mouth guards back then.
Right.
It's definitely how my dad lost a tooth was an elbow to the face.
Because that's what it was down in the paint.
Exactly that.
Yeah, you fighting for them boards, you are elbowing. Unfortunately. I'm glad that isn't as prevalent as it used to be.
So, I mean, this is a person, LeBron James, who was already understanding the bigger role that the league needs to play.
Yeah.
And as a person who is making the most money, you know, like at the top tier athlete, making the most money in the league, making all of the endorsement money, for it to be that person spearheading is what we need.
Yeah.
More of that. Right. But then if Obama can call, if someone from an administration can call, if one person who does, in fact, represent, support, and uphold these systems of oppression is able to make a phone call and say, not right now. I get it, my brother. We y'all deserve more, and we gonna get there. Hope, change, thoughts, prayers, I don't know. Mm. When one person is able to do that and impact the lives of so many people that y'all claimed to care about.
Right.
That they were your heroes.
Right.
So I don't think that Joe Biden should get his nose in the business. I don't think he has any. I don't think that there is room for the federal government to come in on the side of industry, because they have never shown us that they are on the side of a worker. Right.
No.
So if they were, if there were a arm that made it so that the, you know, corporations had to negotiate fairly, had to come to the table, if that's the way they were putting their thumb on the scale and they were, you know, fining these companies that refuse to pay workers, that commit wage theft with abandon, reckless abandon. But that's not what happens. We can't, we know right now that that wage theft is the biggest theft, most biggerest. Like, it's all of the theft. And instead of doing something, the federal government's like, man, that's wild. Do you, we're going to leave our minimum wage the same.
Right.
That's crazy. So, yeah, I definitely don't want Joe Byron jumping in and
saying,
I've had it, no more. No more striking.
Yeah, we need to wrap this up this week in the Bernie situation that we're experiencing as a nation. We don't need Sleepy Joe getting involved in any of this at all.
Real quick, Matt is getting some text messages of encouragement. Just want to make sure that you know this, Matt. You're getting a couple. Yay, Matt. Good luck.
Awesome.
Get after it. Get out there. Way to go.
This is what we like. Camaraderie coming from other fiancés. Thank you, AJ. But guess what?
And not just AJ, though. But
oh!
Anyway, doesn't matter. Hi, AJ!
But guess what?
What?
You're listening to X-Way FM at KXRY Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM. And then the Hale and Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere.
Real quick!
X-Way.FM.
This is why I love the text messages so much.